How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Mom, Brenda couldn't make it. I'm the void. I'm taking a shift. Oh, I'm sure.
That lead, by the way, is Brenda Walsh describing the Big Thunder events of the week. That reference isn't yet 30 years old, so I'm going to say it's still kosher. If you don't get it, please don't look it up. I don't need to deal with the shame. Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 35 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. A fellow Locked On host is on with me in just a moment. We'll be talking all things Joffre Lauvergne after the Thunder traded 2 second-round picks for the former Nuggets center Tuesday. But first, ESPN's Kevin Pelton went on The Lockfather. Yes, we're calling you The Lockfather, David. Deal with it. You're The Lockfather now. David Locke's podcast, Locked On NBA. And he talks some Thunder. If you're listening to this podcast, I assume you know Locked On NBA. Anyway, here's a quick clip of what Kevin had to say when he was on Locked On NBA.
The Oklahoma City Thunder lose Kevin Durant. How does this remix Thunder look to you via real plus minus?
You know, a middle of the pack Western Conference playoff team. I think they're, you know, in that mix with a lot of other teams. Portland, I think most people would put Memphis in this group and probably would put Utah in this group, but I think they're maybe a little bit ahead of them. Houston could be in there as well. But, you know, they were about a 46-win team last year or 2 years ago with Russell Westbrook when Kevin Durant didn't play, and that's about where RPM sees them now. Although I think it's going to be a little different. It was a good offensive team and kind of average defensive team. I actually think that's probably going to flip a little bit because they don't have a ton of shooting, but I do think they're going to be much more engaged defensively this year than they were last year.
Now, that's just a tease. You can download Locked On NBA on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. No more teases for us. Let's get to Lauvergne talk to talk about the newest member of the Oklahoma City Thunder, the man who covered him for his first 2 years in the league, Locked On Nuggets host and Denver Post Nuggets beat writer Chris Dempsey. Chris, what's up?
Hey, how are you?
I am wonderful. How's what's going on with you? How are you dealing with losing? I've been mispronouncing his name forever, so I want you to pronounce it for me.
Yeah, I don't think anybody knows how to say it exactly right, but I have been calling him Joffre Lauvergne.
Joffre Lauvergne. All right, good enough. Because there are like 12 different Lauvergne pronunciations, right?
Oh, there's so many. And, you know, it's funny around here. Me and the play-by-play guy have gone back and forth on how to pronounce it. We've even asked Joffre. And the thing about it is – you know, he just says, hey, look, you know, if you get close, it's fine. He's not into correcting anybody and making it sound super official. So there's definitely going to be, you know, 3, 4, 5 different pronunciations of his name over the course of the time that he's there in Oklahoma City.
Now, I don't watch Game of Thrones. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
I think I'm the only person who's never seen one episode of Game of Thrones.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. I've never seen 1 minute of Game of Thrones. Yeah. But I do know, because I'm just a person who exists in 2016, I do know there's a King Joffrey.
And
that's what I think of now when I hear Joffre Lauvergne's name, if I'm not completely mispronouncing it. Anyway, just quick housekeeping before we get started. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can head on to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder or Locked On Nuggets to subscribe to either of those, or hopefully both of those podcasts there. You can leave reviews for either as well. Find us on audioboom.com too, and you can go to normantranscript.com to follow my Thunder coverage too, and check out Thunder Road. That's my blog. It's under the sports tab on the site. Today's Locked On Thunder is brought to you by SeatGeek. You can download the mobile app for the easiest ways to buy tickets. And the promo code LOTHUNDER, all one word, gets you a $20 rebate on your first purchase. Remember, I'm on Tuesdays and Thursday mornings now. That's for August through about the middle of September. After that, I'm back on daily Monday through Friday, like I was earlier in the summer. Chris, what's your schedule like this time of year?
The same on Locked On Nuggets. It's going to be Tuesday and Thursday. Obviously, the slowest time of the year here for the NBA. As they kind of get ready for, kind of wind in toward training camp. So, dialing back the shows a little bit, but then ramping them back up right when we need them, right when this season gets started.
Well, let's talk some LaVerne, shall we?
Yeah.
So you covered him the first 2 years of his career, 24-year-old center. Thunder traded for him on Tuesday, gave up two 2017 first round picks. That was their own 2017 first round pick, and then the one that they got from Memphis a couple of years ago in a deal, which was already top 35 protected. There's further protection on those. We don't know what that protection is just yet. People like me and Chris have not reported it, unless Chris has and I missed it.
No, I haven't.
So I'm not sure what the protection is on those picks, but we do know the Memphis pick was already top 35 protected. LaVerne, he's tried to go out and shoot some threes a little bit. He does play around the perimeter. He was great from mid-range last year. I thought he was better as a sophomore than he was as a rookie. What were your impressions on kind of how he evolved from year one to year two last year?
Yeah, I think it was night and day, to be honest with you. The thing about it was when he first got to the NBA, it was halfway through the season. And, so he was coming in, new country, new team. Thrust into the situation in the middle of the season, and he just couldn't quite get his feet under him while he was acclimating himself to all of those things in his first year. Now, when he went through his first full season, you could see the difference in just the work over the summer, the conditioning over the summer, and then he came back, and then in some of those areas where he was. Where he had some missteps in his first season, he had those cleaned up largely because he was able to go through some of those experiences for that half season. So, I think while it was rough at first, it helped him out immensely going into his second season. And then you're talking about just a hardworking player. And I think a lot of that showed up for the Nuggets. And as a matter of fact, prior to last season, because the Nuggets were also dealing with the injury to Jusuf Nurkić, and at the time he was still rehabbing. He's under knee rehab, and so he was not going to start the season. So they needed to have, they had a competition for the starting center, which Joffre actually won coming out of training camp. But then, as a matter of fact, it was against the Oklahoma City Thunder. He could not finish that game. It was the third game of the season. He had a back injury. He couldn't finish that game, and then he was out for the next month. By the time he came back, Nikola Jokic had assumed the role of starting center and had played really well, and so he was kind of a reserve after that. But he does a lot of things well on the court, which we can get into.
Right, and that's not a knock on LaVerne, by the way. If you haven't seen Jokic play, he is so good. Like, Chris, I'm so jealous of you that you get to cover him because I love watching him. I think he's going to be an absolute stud.
I do too, and from the skill set, I mean, he does everything really well, right? He scores from the post to the perimeter. He's the kind of guy that on a trail you can run offense through in terms of, high post decision making. You can run the passes through there. I think what we saw in the Olympics with him, at least what I saw, was a little bit better post game out of him. If it was a baseball player, we'd be calling him five tool. I mean, he can do everything on a basketball court. And I think what the Nuggets are hoping is that he can, really do them all to a very high level. He's already shown flashes of that. And now, as with any young player, you're just looking for some consistency there. And then as he continues to get on with his experiences in the NBA, I think you're right. I mean, we're looking at a really, really good player there with Jokic.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Chris, I want to take a moment to talk about SeatGeek. Are you worrying now, since he's not in Denver, that there's going to be a time next year when you're just desperate to see Joffre LaVerne play a game? So you come to Oklahoma City and you walk into the Peak, and like the rest of us, you're wondering if you actually got the best deal on your ticket? Well, SeatGeek can help prevent that feeling. SeatGeek is an easy, mobile-friendly experience. You just download the app, SeatGeek, and the ticket is right there. You walk to the gate with the barcode right on your phone. There's a rating on every ticket, 1 to 100, to tell you what kind of bang for your buck you get for your ticket. Plus, there's an easy way to save some more money. Just go to the settings tab on the app, click on the enter promo code, and type in my promo code, LO Thunder. That's one word, LO Thunder, to get a $20 rebate on your first purchase there. Want to know if there are any deals on Thunder or Sooner games you're missing out on this fall? You can sign up for price alerts on events as well. Those will let you know pricing, and more importantly, they'll point out those sneaky moments leading up to events when prices start to drop and you can actually jump in and get a ticket for really good value. And SeatGeek will make sure to let you know what's in your selected price range. There's no more wondering what if when you think you may have overpaid for a game. Use SeatGeek and that fear is gone. So what's interesting about the Nuggets former roster, or I should say what the Nuggets roster was like 72 hours ago, is that they had a bunch of guys who could play the four, but really were centers in a best-case scenario.
Yeah.
And LaVerne, I think, probably fits that description. But now the Thunder are kind of in a similar position. Look, the Thunder are in – the reason that I think this trade from a roster-building perspective for the Thunder is interesting is because – the Thunder didn't just give up picks for LaVerne. What happened was they now have – I mean, LaVerne's contract is technically not fully guaranteed right now, but there's no way the Thunder were giving up picks just so they can waive LaVerne, unless he is by far the greatest – even if he's the greatest training camp addition anybody's ever had. They're not they're not giving up draft picks so they can waive Joffre LaVerne. They're giving up draft picks so they can keep him. So there's a pending roster move coming. I don't know if that means a small move like, you know, trading, you know, one of the fringe guys, you know, a Hustis or a McGarry for, you know, a future second round pick, or if it means a bigger move like trading one of the bigger names on the roster for something else that's going to bring back, you know, maybe fewer pieces but equal pieces. So I don't know what that means, but we should be looking out for some kind of move because the Thunder right now, if you assume that LaVerne is going to be guaranteed come when the start of the season, when his contract does guarantee, which is a reasonable, if not likely, assumption, then that means there are 16 guaranteed contracts on this roster, and you can only have 15. So do the math. They're getting rid of one of them, and that's why it's interesting to me from a roster-building perspective. But even if they get rid of another big to have him, all of a sudden, there's still some mix of Collison and Adams and Cantor and Sabonis and Ilyasova and McGarry and LaVerne. And that is a similar situation to what he was in Denver, where there are just a lot of big guys on this team fighting for playing time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what Joffre was able to, you know, listen, I think one of his best traits is his level-headedness. You know, would he like to have played more? Yes. But when he got out there, first of all, he never complained. He worked hard. And then when he got out there, he made the most of his minutes. As a matter of fact, he made it so that certainly Coach Michael Malone, it was hard to take him off the court at times. He became hard to ignore on the bench in terms of he knew that he had a player that could come in and be productive, certainly offensively and on the glass. Joffre, he proved that he can still thrive to a certain extent in a situation where there's a logjam in the front court. Now, it's not obviously the ideal situation for him. He does need to be on the court. You know, he's the kind of player that over time, you know, he gets the lather up, and then over time, he's a real asset for you in the midst of a game. But he has proven that he can kind of come off the bench cold and still do some things. And I think so that's going to be a benefit to him, certainly as Oklahoma City works through the front court issues. And, you know, in Denver, that's just what it was. And, you know, that they're trying to continue to clear out the front court a little bit. And you know, they wanted Darrell Arthur to play, and Darrell Arthur wasn't playing largely because Joffre was playing and Nikola Jokic was playing and Kenneth Faried was playing. And so there's just a lot of guys. And so I'll be very interested to see how Oklahoma City works that out. But, you know, I'd have to believe that, you know, Joffre gives them, you know, he's still young, but, you know, he's got more experience than a Sabonis, obviously. Maybe he's a little young. He's younger than a Nick Collison. You know, he's the kind of guy that you can spot in. You don't have to play him big minutes to get good effective production out of him. And I think that's what Oklahoma City is going to see when they get him on the court and get him in the system.
I think the big thing for him is he going to be a consistent three-point shooter at any point, which is completely possible. I mean, he's taken about the same amount of three-pointers, you know, on a per-minute basis over his first couple of seasons, and he hasn't really been reliable from a percentage standpoint, but he's been right. persistent in staying out in the perimeter. He was really good from mid-range last year. And when you see him on the French national team, it's a similar role. He's really a spacer there. And that's kind of where his range goes out to right now, but he's 24 years old. And I think if he can become a three-point shooter, especially like the Thunder are going to be I am so confident in saying the Thunder are going to be encouraging him to be a three-point shooter. This is a team that doesn't have a lot of shooting. I mean, there's Ilyasova, who's really the only big man that shoots threes at all, unless, you know, McGarry is, you know, upping his game next year and we'll get minutes and we'll shoot threes, which I don't think is something we should necessarily anticipate after his first couple of seasons. So you got Ilyasova shooting threes. You've got Morrow, who was in and out of the rotation last year because of defensive reasons, who's a tremendous three-point shooter, but you know, Billy Donovan has shown that he's not going to play him consistently. At least he wasn't with last year's roster. And you got Alex Abrines, who was one of the best shooters in Europe last year, but he's a rookie. And I don't think it's fair to expect a rookie to come in and all of a sudden be an impact player. I think you have to brace yourself for those sorts of rookie moments and him going in and out of the rotation too. So Ilyasova could end up being the only guy who's consistently in the rotation all year who's a three-point shooter. So if the Thunder can get even average three-point shooting out of LaVerne, like, that's a huge addition, especially from a guy who can play the four and the five.
Yeah, and you know, he's obviously shown the propensity to be able to hit that shot. And you know, we'll see if he can hit it to a high percentage. You know, I think right now when you are talking about Joffre's game, you're talking about high pick and roll. He's good on the screens. He's good at rolling to the rim. I think a lot of people saw that with the French national team. He was very effective in terms of screening and rolling and trying to finish with dunks and those kinds of things right around the rim. You know, he's a smart player. So, I mean, he's going to be able to read the situation right. And he can pick and pop if he needs to pick and pop. You know, if you want to space him out to like the corner three, something like that. He has not been shy about taking that shot. Certainly wasn't last year with the Nuggets, and you know, knocked down a fair amount of it, knocked down enough of them so that the defense couldn't just play off of him. You know, because they knew that he was capable of knocking down that shot. So, you know, I think, you know, part of the question is, does he want to be, you know, does he want to stretch his game out to the 3-point line all the time, or more of the time, or most of the time? And the sense I got from him when I was covering him was, you know, it is something that he would definitely like to get into a lot more. At this point in time, I think he thought his bread and butter was a little bit more in the mid range and around the post and on the paint, in the paint, and on the block. So if Billy Donovan can kind of, in his continual development, get Joffre a little bit more spaced out, a little bit more of a reliable three-point shooter, add that versatility to his game in a lot more significant way. It's just going to help everything that he does on the court. You know, he is a very versatile player, and he's a hardworking player. He definitely has to – we'll see about the three-point shot, and if he can be effective in it, then it's certainly going to help Oklahoma City a lot.
What do you think of him as a defender? Because I see moments where he seems to be a pretty good rotator, where I see moments, but there are other moments where I see him get lost a little bit. And I'm wondering, you've seen him more than I have. What do you think of him as a defensive player?
Yeah, so he's a work in progress on defense. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, it's, you know, he's had, he has good moments. He's had some moments where he's just not been in the right place at the right time. Obviously, the you know, he's not the fastest player in the whole wide world, most athletic player in the whole wide world. So you're not going to see a lot of quickness to the ball and all that kind of stuff. So he's got to be very solid in his rotations. He's got to be very solid in his fundamentals, and those are things that he continues to work on, and he's going to have to continue to work on. I mean, it was not a secret around here that he was good at times on defense, and then he was a liability at times on defense. And so I think we saw that with the French national team as well, where he had his good moments, but he had some moments where you kind of were scratching your head at, said, okay, well, he's got to shore that up a little bit. So, and I think Billy Donovan's a good coach for that. You know, I mean, you know, in terms of being a teacher, in terms of teaching a defensive system scheme, and then being around guys like Steven Adams, I think is going to also help Joffre in terms of defense, where, you know, and how he plays it, how to be most effective within the athletic skill set that he has. So, you know, we'll see. He's definitely not a finished product there, but I think he has potential to be not a great defender, but I think he has potential to be a good one.
Isn't it interesting how different all of the fours on this Thunder roster are than Serge Ibaka on defense? Like, I'm not even talking about quality, just like stylistically, how different are all of these players from Serge Ibaka? Like, the Thunder fans got used to seeing Serge Ibaka out there every single night for years, just this guy who was switchy and athletic and protected the rim, like, in his prime as well as any other, or better than any other player in the league, maybe, and just could do everything on defense, could guard wings and could guard bigs and fought in the post and blocked shots and just deterred guys from even going to the rim because he was so intimidating. And now you got, like, Ilyasova, who doesn't nearly have the feet of him and isn't a shot blocker, and you got, you know, Kanter, who has his issues, you know, defending the way Ibaka can, and you got Laverne, who's a different type of player, and it's just the skill sets just couldn't be more different stylistically from what Ibaka was, and they're putting a lot of burden on Steven Adams this year. Like, they clearly have a lot of faith in what Steven Adams, and I think they're going to be a good defensive team. I really do, and I think a lot of that has to do with, I think Adams is going to be great this year, but they're putting a lot of the burden on Steven Adams this year for what's going to happen, and that's not even necessarily a critique. It's more just an observation. Like, they clearly have a ton of faith on Steven Adams, as they well should. He was tremendous in the playoffs last year, but it's just interesting. I think this acquisition kind of even furthers that to say, you know, Steven Adams is going to have a lot of responsibilities on defense this year.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And, you know, I think, you know, it's also going to put pressure on the perimeter players, right? So, because when you had a Serge Ibaka, having guys like Serge Ibaka and when he was in his shot blocking prime, you know, it's such a luxury because you can gamble more up top. If you're a beat, you got a guy who can clean it up. Even if you weren't completely solid as a team on any given defensive possession, you have a guy that can bail you out. Okay, so now, that's not necessarily the case anymore. So now you have to be more on a string on defense. Perimeter wise, you cannot let guys get into your paint the way you know just kind of repeatedly. So there's going to be more pressure on Westbrook. There's going to be more pressure on Oladipo up top, and those are two very good defensive players. But to not allow constant penetration into the paint, which collapses the defense, and because the same athleticism, the same kind of bailout kind of a player isn't back there anymore, and so you know, it'll, you know, the way they're going to have to be defensively is just going to have to be so much more solid, so much more tied together. And Joffre is going to have to be part of that. Steven Adams, as you have pointed out, is going to have to step up and be a bigger part of the defensive wall that Oklahoma City is going to have to be able to put up on a possession to possession basis. And that's going to take time. You know, when you have, you know, the other thing about having a guy like Serge Ibaka is, when you've had that kind of guy for so long, you know, guys get kind of used to playing defense a certain way and get used to having somebody who can erase mistakes behind them. And then when you don't have that anymore, and now everybody has to be a little more solid, a little more, less gambling, you know, it takes a little time to get the chemistry on that, to get the personality on that, to bring that to the court each and every night. So it'll be an evolutionary process there for Oklahoma City defensively, given the skill sets of the players that they're going to have out there on the court. But I think at its best, they certainly have the individuals there who can get it done.
Chris, you realize how much of a cliche you are right now, podcasting from your basement?
A huge, huge cliche right now. Yes, I do.
If only it was your mother's basement. That
right. Yeah. I have a unique situation here. It's the quietest place that I could come and get some real basketball talk done.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I appreciate you coming out. Anything to plug before we head out?
The Locked On Nuggets podcast, which you did earlier in this edition as well, which I appreciate, and DenverPost.com for all the Nuggets news and anything residual from Joffre Lavergne. I've written a lot about him. As a matter of fact, it's funny because I was talking to somebody else yesterday, and he was saying, "Yeah, you did the summer evaluation on Joffre Lavergne just right after his Olympics," and I said, "Yeah," and it's fine. You know, these things, you know, are ever evolving, and you never know what player is going to be here today and gone tomorrow. DenverPost.com/Nuggets for anything else that people might want to know about Joffre or how he has done on the court. And then now it's he'll be in Oklahoma City. You guys will get to know him, and you guys will get to see him up close.
And where can the tweeters find you?
The tweeters can find me at Chris A. Dempsey, at Chris A. Dempsey.
Lovely. Give Chris a follow. Great for Nuggets news. Great for all that stuff. Before we head out, I'm on every Tuesday and Thursday from this point forward. That'll be true through the middle of September or so, when I'm going to return to every weekday, Monday through Friday. If you're subscribed to the show, you'll be all good on getting those. And remember, you can head on to iTunes and subscribe to Locked On Thunder there. If you have questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FREDKATZ. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs, and check out Thunder Road to follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder there. That's just my blog under the sports tab. That's going to do it for today. Thanks again to SeatGeek. And remember, you can enter that promo code LO Thunder, all one word, to get a $20 rebate on your first SeatGeek purchase. And thanks a bunch to my guest, Locked On Thunder host and Denver Post Nuggets beat writer, Chris Dempsey. I'm back with you Tuesday for more NBA talk, more Thunder talk. Until next time, though, Locked On Thunder is locking up.
JCPenney, time to refresh your closet. This Thursday through Monday, get Levi's lowest prices of the season on 514 straight fit jeans for guys, $36.99. And select Arizona booties for her for $35.99. Plus, save an additional 50% off clearance prices already reduced by 60 to 80%. And get an extra $10 off with your coupon. Hurry in now. JCPenney. From valid 10-5 to 10-9, Levi's and other brands excluded from coupon. Clearance selection vary by store while supplies last. Savings off regular and original prices. Intermediate markdowns may have been taken. See store or jcp.com for details. Season refers to 9/27 to 10/18.